First reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the gospel is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then verses 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, and then where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parables of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it only lasts for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling on the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Who hears the words, the sower went out to sow, and immediately goes, "Oh yeah, I know that one." You know that one? Yeah, we know that one. And so the brain goes flick and starts planning the shopping list for later on. Sometimes. Nobody's going to admit to that, are they? But I tell you, I know. I know. And that's because when things are really familiar, sometimes they get so familiar that we lose the power of them. And that can happen with all sorts of things, and it's no different with scripture. And the reason for that is because we have put down the ears that hear. And Jesus says, those who have ears to hear. Let them listen. And the thing is, we have to have the open heart, which is what the parable of the sower is all about. Because after all, the sower walks along throwing his seed, and he's walking on a path, and as he's throwing his seed out and he's putting it out, there's going to be the rocky ground under his feet, the hard ground, because that's his path he walks on every day. It's compacted. And the seed will bounce off that and nothing will happen. And some of the seed will go on some of the rocks on the edge of the path. If you've ever been to Israel, you'll realize there's a lot of rocky paths around that part of the world and it's fairly barren. And it'll go in there and it won't really take hold. And then there'll be thorns and there'll be weeds, because who has a garden that has no weeds in it? Nobody. And there'll also be very good soil. And into that soil, the seed can go. And one of the things that you and I can do with a parable like this is we can wonder about the soil and we can wonder about the seed. The seed, of course, is the word of God, as Jesus said. And we can feel like, I've been tossing seeds. I've been tossing seeds. I've been putting the word out there. I've been putting it out and putting it out and putting it out. And I'm talking to lots of people and I'm trying really hard to live a Christian life. And I don't think anybody has got it at all. I don't think any of them are coming. Or they seem to be interested, but then it doesn't happen. And we think, you know what? We are to sow the seed. We are to sow the seed. The seed is going to fall into the soil, into the life of the person we are sowing into. But I cannot make the roses in my garden grow. I cannot make the weeds grow. It is God who will make that seed take root and grow in that person's life if they are someone who's going to receive. And what happens is when the things we think we're doing for God are not working, we start condemning ourselves. Start deciding, maybe if there's some sin in the way, maybe I've done something, maybe God's angry at me. Have you ever had that one go through your head? Maybe God's angry at me. I mean, you know, when I was 21, I did this, and maybe he's still thinking about it. Yeah, we do it, don't we? We do it. Maybe that's in the way. Maybe, just maybe, well, you know, okay. All right, I wasn't in a good mood. Maybe I just didn't say it right, you know, didn't twist the tongue right, didn't get the right expression. Rubbish. It is the Holy Spirit who makes the seed grow. You just got to sow it. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Now, how do we understand this? Well, we are people with the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about this, haven't we? The Holy Spirit, therefore, is given to you by faith in Jesus, by the grace of God who gives it to us, because grace is a free gift. And in that exchange, we receive Holy Spirit, and therefore we are filled. Who loves pastry? Like pastry? Anybody like pastry? Gluten-free pastry? Yes, unfortunately, I couldn't get any. I like pastry too, very, very much. But if I have one of these lovely tart shells at the moment, what's going to happen? Is it going to be delicious? Well, it's going to taste all right. It's not going to be amazing, is it? I've got to fill it. You and I are made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. That makes you a human being, created by God for God's glory and God's purposes. But to have the fullness of who you are really created to be, you need the filling. Right? You need the filling. Do we spend our lives often as people who don't realize we've got the filling? Sometimes we walk around like this, and in our hearts, we do not remember that actually we have Holy Spirit with us. And we need a reminder sometimes that because we have Holy Spirit with us, this is not us. These are just tart cases. They can sit on a shelf forever and I ain't going to eat them. They're not tasty. They're not useful to me. And indeed, the life without God is a life like a tart case sitting on a shelf, isn't it? Dead in sin. Fill this up with something yummy, though. I'm alive. Thank you very much, especially if it's gluten-free or lactose-free or both. Unfortunately, these are not gluten-free. I couldn't get any gluten-free ones, so I won't be partaking. However, we have some yummy things to fill them up with, and we have some kids who are going to love to do that, I'm sure, and some other bits you can decorate with them as well. So how about you make us yummy? Here we go. There's chocolate mousse. There's strawberry yogurt, which is lactose-free. There's a few other bits and pieces. The thing is, we hear Romans 8 a lot too, don't we? We hear Romans 8 a lot. We hear that there is a life where we are, where we can be dead in sin. And then when we come to Jesus, we are alive in Christ. We hear that we are people of the Spirit and that we live in Christ. It's not we live and Christ is sort of here. We live in Christ and Christ lives in us. This is something which is a change that God has brought about in our lives. When we come to him, we are not just clothed with the righteousness of God, but we are filled with the Spirit. Sort of like the tartlet with the lemon bit in the middle and then you stick the meringue on top, you know. It is a complete change. We are who we are because we are created who we are, but it is a complete change. And because it is a complete change, we are no longer who we were. We are being brought into who we were always created to be. Because in Christ, there is no condemnation. The word condemnation is a technical word. It's that word for calling us guilty. You are condemned when you are found guilty, aren't you? When the person comes before the judge and the gavel comes down, he says, guilty. And then he gives you the sentence, whatever that happens to be. When I do something wrong today, because I am in Christ, and I go to the judge and I say, sorry, Father, I mucked up. He looks at me through the blood of Christ, which has been shed for me. And there is no condemnation. The gavel doesn't come down. Sentence is not pronounced because Jesus has already stood in that place. The gavel came down on Jesus. The sentence was pronounced on Jesus. It was death on a cross. That's my sentence. That's what should happen. Without him, that's what does happen. Because there is absolutely no way, no matter how well I work at it, that I can be good enough to not muck up at least once. You look up the writings of the saints, you will find every one of them struggled with something. It is not that I am good enough, but that Christ did everything so that I could come to the Father and say, I'm sorry, and without any need for gavels and judgment, he simply says, I forgive you, child. Let's wipe that one off the slate. Blood of Jesus pours over me and it's gone. Now, do you know those people? You know those people. I know a few of those people. I had a very good friend who I spent a lot of time with trying to help her to see that she was one of these people who had a bottom drawer. You got a bottom drawer, you know? You know the bottom drawer when you're in a relationship and somebody says to you something you don't like and then they say, oh, I'm sorry. And you say, oh, I forgive you. And then down in the bottom drawer, you put it away for later, you know? Just, yeah. And then, you know, the bottom drawer gets a bit full. And then one day they say something that you don't like. And out of the bottom drawer, you pull out the list and you say, well. Now, some people have bottom drawers for other people. And some people have bottom drawers for themselves. You got a bottom drawer for yourself? Have you got a place where you're keeping all those things? You know, I can remember everything I've done wrong, especially the big stuff. It all sits there in the back of my head sometimes, and occasionally the enemy says to me, you can't do this, you did that. There's no way you can be there. You did that. I remember when you did that. That's actually his job, because Satan is accuser. Empty your bottom drawer, folks, because God's already wiped it off. Don't go looking for it. This is what no condemnation means. This is what no condemnation means. No condemnation means that the bottom drawer doesn't exist. God doesn't have one. Not for his children. He's the Father you can come to every single time. He'll take you in his arms, love you and hold you and say, we're just going to forget this kid and we're going to move on. Learn your lesson, don't do it again. But he's not going to sit there and excuse us. He's going to wash us clean. That means you have to have something to be washed from. So sin is the real thing. But when you are clean, you are released. And the freedom the Spirit brings comes through that release. And when I am clean in that way, I walk in the righteousness of God. And walking in the righteousness of God is not my own, because I am not that righteous. Get to know me a bit more, you'll know. I'm not that righteous. There are days when the brain does something, the mouth opens, the foot goes straight down the throat, and I only take it out to change for the other foot. And that is the way it works in most people's lives that I know. We all have our moments. But Jesus, his righteousness is absolutely spotless. And it will never, ever get tarnished by what I do. I can't tarnish that. I cannot make Jesus less righteous than he is by what I do. Therefore, when his righteousness stands for me, mine doesn't make it any less. My unrighteousness does not make that any less. But because it stands for me, my unrighteousness does not get in the way God washes that away, and the righteousness of Jesus still stands spotless for me. It's our own self-condemnation that keeps our bottom drawers full. What Jesus wants to do is fill up that drawer with the Holy Spirit and righteousness of God and the Holy Spirit, which says, when that little voice says to you, occasionally it does to me, you've done this, so what right have you to get up and talk to people about Jesus? And I say to that little voice, leave me in the name of Jesus. I am forgiven. I am free. The blood of Jesus has washed that away. It no longer exists in the mind of God, and I do not need to hold it, and I do not need to be under it. I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you can't take that off me. Took me a while to learn that. Spent a lot of years not knowing that one. It can take a while to learn. Because partly we don't believe it because we know what we're like. Partly we know the weeds in our own garden. You know? So we can have trouble believing it. But it's the truth. It's written here. It's in black and white. Scripture is God breathing. If God said it, it's true, folks. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. That is every rule you were trying to keep before you knew Jesus. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, the likeness of Jesus was not sinful, but he had to be exactly like us. Therefore, he had to have the potential to have sinned in order to die for us. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's the gavel coming down. So that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then Paul talks about mindset, and that's sort of what I'm talking about in a way, because it's often the battle in the mind, as Joyce Meyer likes to say, isn't it? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Set the mind on flesh is death. It takes us back into the empty tart case, and that's not where God wants us. To set our minds on the things of the Spirit is life and peace, because we are filled and we are absolutely what God is making us to be, what he created us to be in the first place, and what we are becoming as we come more and more into that place where we walk by the Spirit. For this reason, the mind that's set on flesh is hostile to God, which is true. We can't follow God and be wanting to know everything about him when we don't really want him in the first place, and that mind is not going to want to receive. However, we are always calling out to that mind. We're always sowing the word of God because it's the Holy Spirit who can bring that person to be open to the word. The Holy Spirit who can work in that person's life. And the Holy Spirit who makes that difference. And often God works through amazing ways. And I'm sure that many of you would have a testimony of the way that God brought you to faith and how he put people in your life and he dropped things there for you to read or to see. And how he maybe made sure that you watched that particular film or heard that particular person, or maybe you were dragged across to church because somebody wouldn't let you stay home and you listened, and eventually you followed through. We all have a story of how God, working against that which is never going to want him in the flesh, that one that wants to be rebellious, that rebellious part of us, God lovingly, in absolute patience with us, which is amazing, has worked in our lives to bring us to a place where then the seed can go in and he's prepared the soil and it can grow. And the Holy Spirit can make it grow. And we become filled in Christ. And the process is a process. And sometimes you have to work with the soil before it becomes good soil, don't you, gardeners? And God does that. And sometimes the reason why the sowing didn't work is simply because God hasn't finished preparing that soil yet. But the fact is, we keep sowing because at some stage, if they are going to come to him, he will bring them. I absolutely believe that. And it's not my business how he brings them. It's my business that I sow. But, says Paul, you are not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. He's speaking to believers. We're not in that rebellious place. We're not in that place. We are believers. He's speaking to believers. You're not in the flesh. You are in the spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who doesn't have the Spirit doesn't belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body may be dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit is here to empower us and enable us right now to live that life and to keep working and to keep bringing the flavor of God into the world around us. But that's not where it stops, because that gift is that, in the technical term, eschatological gift, the gift that takes us all the way to the end. On the day when I really do face the throne of God, on the day when this mortal life finishes, because these things wear out as they do, that is God's way of doing things, but I, who am alive in Christ, will still be alive. And I'll come to the throne of God. And before the throne of God, if I have indeed the Spirit of the living God within me, and I have actually received Jesus, and I have lived and wanted that life, there will be no condemnation in that moment, only the joy of coming into the arms of the one I've been hanging out for a hug from all my years. Because the righteousness of God is mine and it is yours. Because the blood of Jesus has washed me clean and you. Because in the Spirit of God, we stand. And it is a new creation. It's an eternal truth, and a truth that we can just sort of skim over because we know this. But my goodness, when you stop and spend a bit of time, it's pretty good, isn't it? So we might be different flavors, but we'll all be filled with the Spirit. And when we discover those flavors, we can complement one another and make an amazing feast. And the beauty of it is that when we are of the right flavor in Christ and we are all flavored in that way and filled with him, the world takes notice. Because they actually don't want empty pie crusts either. May the flavor of the Lord Jesus so be part of our lives that not only will it flavour our church here with one another, but that we might become a feast for the people who need to know the one who set